Hi, this is Jim Paletti, Director of Education and Clinical Consultant for Power to Practice. I'd like to spend some time today talking to you about the basics of liver detoxification. Any discussion of detoxification, or detox, could include everything from spiritual cleansing to scientific and physiological detoxification. Detox includes practices ranging from fasting, colon cleansing, and ionic food detoxification, to more conventional chelation and enzymatic nutritional support. The detoxification protocol discussed today refers to the metabolic pathways that process unwanted chemicals for elimination, a process referred to as metabolic detoxification. The enzymatic reactions that neutralize and solubilize toxins so that the liver and kidneys can excrete them is a primary mechanism for elimination of foreign chemicals and unnecessary or excess endogenously produced substances. Metabolic detoxification reactions help protect from environmental toxins, drugs, excess hormones, vitamins, and inflammatory molecules. The rationale for detoxification is simple. We ingest and are exposed to so many toxins in today's world. Toxins can act as carcinogens or mutagens and disrupt numerous metabolic pathways, leading to a multitude of detrimental effects. In 2006, the CDC reported that the average American has 116 of 148 tested synthetic compounds in their body. Most food contains chemicals that need to be detoxified properly, or they are deposited in various tissues. The increased toxic load leads to inflammation, as most toxins are pro-inflammatory. A chronic state of inflammation from accumulated toxin leads to disease. There are an abundance of environmental toxins most of us are exposed to regularly. Lifestyle choices can increase toxic burden, stressing the detox capacity of the liver. These include smoking, excessive alcohol, caffeine consumption, drugs, recreational and prescription and OTC, dietary choices of fast foods, refined foods, artificial food additives like preservatives and colors, antibiotics, and growth hormone used in production of meats. Additional environmental sources of exogenous toxins include, but not limited to this list, air pollution like factory and vehicle emissions, smoke, pesticides, herbicides, insecticides, fertilizers, solvents, different various cleaning agents, gasoline, glue, paints, nail polish remover, perfumes, etc. Plastics that have been subjected to heat, artificial preservatives, heavy metals, non-purified water, excessive alcohol or caffeine, dyes, chlorinated and brominated products, like commercial bread products, radiation and EMFs, from cell phones, Wi-Fi, cordless phones, radiology, airplanes, electronic clocks, etc. I always advise people keep your phones, computers, electronic clocks, etc. at least 8 feet from your bed where you sleep. Other sources, microwave ovens, and poor quality fats, canola oil, soy oil, corn oil, etc. Endogenous toxins can add to the detoxification burden of the liver. Endogenous toxins include bacterial, fungal, and yeast overgrowth, metabolic reaction byproducts like carbon dioxide and ammonia in excess, excess hormones. Note on this, excess hormones can be caused by overproduction, endogenous, or by poor elimination, which in turn leads to more toxic burden. Other endogenous toxin sources are undigested foods in the GI tract, stress. Stress turns off and on genes that regulate fat storage, immune function, and hundreds of enzymes that break down fats and detoxify drugs. Stress also slows gut transit, which increases recirculation of estrogens and exogenous toxins. Toxins are fat-soluble and can deposit in the lipid membrane and adipose tissue. The effects of stored toxins can be continuous and permanent if allowed to remain stored in the body. Toxins may be an underlying cause for chronic illness because of their effects on the gastrointestinal, cardiovascular, neurological, immune, and muscular systems. Optimizing function of the metabolic detoxification process improves the efficiency of the liver, kidney, and intestines. Liver detoxification is part of the process for the functional approach to GI health. Chronic GI complaints are the most common reason why people seek medical care. Without good function of the GI tract, there won't be proper absorption and assimilation of nutrients for running detox pathways. The pillars of GI health include digestion, elimination, microflora balance, and gut integrity. Digestive enzymes can be very beneficial to help patients break down complex food molecules and nutrients to be absorbed, and therefore they are important to the detoxification pathway. Elimination refers to getting rid of toxic metabolites from the body. When toxins are removed by enhancing liver detoxification pathways, often improvement is seen in all four pillars of GI health. So as you can see, GI health affects and is dependent on proper detoxification and vice versa. There's more than one organ that assists in detoxification. The skin helps detoxify through sweating and the kidney through urination. But the most important organ for detoxification is the liver. There are two phases in the liver pathway of detoxification. And then the final step is elimination of the products of the liver metabolism. Phase 1 detoxification is enzymatic transformation. Enzymes chemically transform lipid-soluble compounds into water-soluble compounds. The majority of phase 1 detoxification reactions are performed by the cytochrome P450 family of enzymes. CYP enzymes are relatively nonspecific and can act on numerous types of toxins. Other enzymes that contribute to phase 1 detoxification include flavin monooxidases, or FMOs, which metabolize nicotine, alcohol and aldehyde dehydrogenase, which metabolize alcohol, and monoamine oxidases, which metabolize neurotransmitters and some antidepressant drugs. The CYP1A2 enzyme is responsible for phase 1 metabolism of approximately 50% of drugs. Patients taking multiple medications can overwhelm the CYP1A2 enzyme, leading to side effects and drug-to-drug interactions. Phase 2 detoxification is enzymatic conjugation. Metabolic products from phase 1 detoxification are more water-soluble. However, they are not yet made totally suitable for elimination. These molecules may not be sufficiently water-soluble for complete elimination and often are reactive molecules that, if not eliminated, can actually cause oxidative damage. Phase 2 enzyme reactions make the molecules more water-soluble and less reactive. Phase 2 enzyme activity is considered anti-carcinogenic and anti-mutagenic. Phase 1 metabolism of toxins triggers the oxidative stress response of activation of the nuclear factor ethroid-derived 2, or NRF2 protein, that controls the production of most of phase 2 enzymes. So phase 1 activation then in turn activates phase 2 enzymes. NRF2 also activates synthesis of the detoxification molecules superoxide dismutase, or SOD, and glutathione, and activates the intestinal process and heavy metal detoxification. Phase 2 enzymes include glutathione S transferase that catalyze transfer of glutathione to phase 1 metabolites, including sex steroids, thyroid hormones, fat-soluble vitamins, bile acids, bilirubin, and prostaglandin. Glutathione S-transferases also have antioxidant properties and detoxify free radicals and oxidize lipids or DNA. Glutathione conjugates are excreted via the bile or delivered to the kidney for further process and elimination. Another phase 2 enzyme is methyltransferase enzymes. A catechol-O methyltransferase, COMT, eliminates catecholamine neurotransmitters. Another phase 2 enzyme are the sulfotransferases, or salts, that attach sulfate groups to phase 1 and phase 2 reactions. Salts metabolize drugs, sex steroids, thyroid, adrenal hormones, serotonin, ascorbate, and vitamin D. Note that unlike other phase 2 enzymes, salts can convert some procarcinogens into more reactive intermediates, which may act as chemical carcinogens and mutagens. Another phase 2 enzyme is UDP glucanol transferase, or UGTS, which attach glucuronic acid to toxins in the process referred to as glucuronidation. Drugs, xenobiotics, and many environmental toxins, including bisphenol A from plastics and benzopyrene from cooked meats, are metabolized by UGTS. And the last phase 2 enzyme is the amino acid conjugating enzymes, which attach amino acids to xenobiotics and food preservatives like benzoic acid. After phase 1 and phase 2, the final step in detoxification is transport. Transporters actively pump water-soluble phase 2 metabolites out of the cells of the liver, kidney, and intestines. These transporters are proteins referred to as ABC transporters for the ATP binding cassette because they require energy from ATP. And let me caution here, phase 1 reactions potentially produce more reactive and toxic molecules, therefore inducing phase 1 reactions when phase 2 reactions are not functioning at a rate to rapidly neutralize the phase 1 products can increase health risk. So you always want to make sure that phase 2 enzymes are stimulated if you're stimulating phase 1 enzymes. Factors that can increase phase 1 reactions include nicotine and alcohol. So what are the signs and symptoms of toxin buildup in your patients? There are many. Some of the major ones are headaches, muscle aches and pains, fatigue, asthma, allergies, skin disorders like acne and rosacea, unexplained weight gain, inability to lose weight, high blood pressure, fatty yellowish lumps around the eyes, abdominal bloating, excessive abdominal fat, pain or discomfort over the liver, trouble digesting fatty foods, acid reflux, heartburn, dark spots on the skin, overheating of the body and excessive perspiration, chronic infections, mood swings, poor mental function, lowered stress tolerance, decreased libido, infertility. So what are the goals of liver detox? 1. Minimize exposure to and consumption of all toxins. 2. Increase intake of nutrients required for detoxification by diet or supplementation. 3. Optimize bowel function and bile flow to help elimination. 4. Increase fruits and vegetables to increase alkalinity along with adequate purified water to increase urinary elimination. So, let's get to the meat. How do I detox the liver? The detoxification process can be as simple as avoiding the toxins the body is exposed to for a certain period of time, usually 7 to 30 days. Add to that good, healthy eating. Most of the diet component is combined with Most often, the diet component is combined with nutritional support for phase 1 and phase 2 enzyme reactions, again for a period of 7 to 30 days. Additional detox measures can be incorporated, such as daily sweating. Break a good sweat daily and consume plenty of purified water during and after the exercise or sauna treatment. Examples of other additional measures would be chelation therapy for heavy metal detoxification or removal of mercury fillings by a qualified trained dentist. The patient starts the process of detox by reducing the toxic load. Avoid exposure to environmental toxins. Reduce exposures from toxins in food and drink. A liver detox diet emphasizes organic, natural, whole foods in order to avoid all pesticides, antibiotics, artificial additives, high fructose corn syrup, hormones, etc. It should also contain alkaline food like potassium-rich fruits and vegetables, while avoiding acid-inducing foods like refined carbohydrates. Ounces of purified water daily intake should be half the patient's weight in pounds. In other words, if a patient weighs 150 pounds, you take half that, 75. That's the number of ounces of water a day they should take. They should also avoid common allergens to decrease the risk of inflammation. Gluten, dairy, soy, and egg are the top four common allergens. Most nutritional companies have kits available for a 1 week to a 1 month detox program. The kits contain detailed information on the detox diet and supplements that support detoxification mechanisms. The kit may also contain a nutritional beverage mix. Some of the nutritional supplements you may see used for detox support include milk thistle, artichoke leaf extract, pomegranate extract, green tea extract, turmeric, glucosinolates, sulforaphane, N-acetylcysteine, MSM, alpha-lipoic acid, dandelion, selenium, methionine, and some certain amino acids. Phase 1 detoxification is supported by vitamins B2, B3, B6, B12, and C, vitamin C, folate, niacin, magnesium, copper, zinc, and flavonoids. So the nutritional companies have put together these kits to supply what is needed to both increase phase 1 and phase 2 reaction while providing a healthful diet. I would caution against detox programs that include fasting, with or without a cleanse. These programs are a type of starvation which actually slows down metabolism. Daily laxative for cleansing can cause dehydration, deplete electrolytes, and impair normal bowel function. If the patient appears to be fairly toxic, or someone with high exposure to toxins, such as a hairdresser or somebody who sprays chemicals on a lawn for a lawn service company, etc., my advice is to do a detox diet only for at least 7 days before adding nutritional support. Toxins that are released from the fat cells into the bloodstream when metabolism is increased can cause temporary unpleasant symptoms, including headache, chills, fatigue, dizziness, irritability, body odor, foul-smelling stools, body aches, and general flu-like symptoms. These symptoms can persist several days in some individuals, so if you're in doubt, go more slowly with the detox. Avoid toxins, follow a detox diet for 7 to 10 days, and then initiate the nutritional support in these type of patients. So how you do the detox depends upon the individual patient. If you want to just do a diet detox, I recommend everybody do a diet detox for at least 10 days, once or twice a year. Get off the alcohol and all the toxins. Do it for 10 days. Help the liver out. I also would like to see everybody do a nutritional support for phase 1 and phase 2 at least once a year. But it varies from patient to patient. I have some patients that are exposed to toxins all the time. Hairdressers are my number one problem. They are going to do a diet detox for 7 to 14 days. Then they're going to add to nutritional supplements and do that for another 7 to 10 days. And then I usually keep them on a product that supports phase 1 and phase 2 enzymes on a daily basis. They don't have to take to medicinal foods. They do want to watch their diet and take something to support the enzyme reactions on a daily basis because they are exposed to toxins on a daily basis. But on the other hand, if I have a patient who lives a relatively clean lifestyle and is just concerned with the exogenous toxins that we're exposed to in our environment that you can't always avoid, I tell them if they do a detox once, maybe twice a year, 7 to 10 days, they're fine. I hope this information helps you. Thanks for listening.